And then the word God raised the choir and all the congregation. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 12 through 22. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version, verses 12 through 22.
All right.
Then Jesus went into the temple and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." Then he left them and went out to the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither away so soon?" So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive."
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless be the blessing to all who heard, read God's word, and believing that he will fulfill his promise. Amen. I want to talk about a fig tree with no figs.
All right.
A fig tree with no figs. Well, earlier this week, I think it was around Tuesday, I went to Popeye's Louisiana Chicken. And the reason why I went there is because Gabrielle had asked me to bring her snack after school before her game. And I know she had been wanting to try the chicken sandwich that had become so popular. So I went over there and took a little while, about 15 minutes, so I finally got it and took it to her in the before the game. And because of the chicken smell, I wasn't ready to eat the fried chicken, but because I had half the smell in the car till I got there, it created an appetite for chicken. Now, so after I dropped it off, and then I wanted chicken, but I wasn't going back to Popeye because the line was too long. So there's another place called Chicken Express. Chicken Express. So I went to Chicken Express, and I didn't want it a 2-piece or something, because I was going to go back to the game in a few minutes. Just wanted something to, because I hadn't had very much meat that day. And I went in, and I was getting ready to place my order. Two people, biscuit. 449.
All right.
And as I was waiting, the woman came to the counter and said, "We don't have any chicken for a while." I said, "Name the place for chicken." I was walking out. Number one, that's all you were really supposed to say. It's chicken. And you don't have chicken. And then you say, "I gotta wait for a while." And your name is Chicken Express. The reason why I came here and didn't go back to Popeye because Express me. I should be in here, right? But I got to go back to the day. I don't have all day. And I'm saying, and the woman got to know, that's false advertising. And I wonder, my brothers and sisters, how often do people come in our churches? And after they come in and have experienced our congregations, do they say that we are guilty of false advertising? Because when the name church is on the sign or on the building, there's something that's all fine.
Yes, sir.
On the inside.
Yes, right.
Gotta get a witness in the
right side. Right. Right.
Yeah. You go to church to find the church.
Yeah.
Listen. In our text today, we see, I'm going to kind of go to the last half, working way back. We see in our text today that Jesus, one morning, had woke up. This is the morning after he cleansed the temple. We're going to talk about cleansing the temple just a second. It's the morning after he ran all the thieves and robbers out of the temple. And he wakes up the next morning, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem from Bethany. And he sees a fig tree. He looks at it from afar, and he sees the leaves. Now, you got to understand how a fig tree works.
Yes, sir.
The way a fig tree works is before the leaves come, the fig comes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's not leaves and then fig, it's figs and then leaves.
Yes.
So when they fall, and sometimes when you fall, you can't see the fig because the figs are green, they're like the leaves.
Yes, sir.
So he saw it from afar off and Christ, our Lord, went up to the tree and expected to see figs. He only saw leaves.
Yes, sir.
But it was a fig tree. And on a fig tree, the purpose of a fig tree is to bear figs.
Yes.
Without fig, the tree has no purpose.
Right.
The reason why it was planted was to bear figs. And all it has is leaves. And these got upset. Yeah, he got upset. Some things that it was a righteous indignation. It was angry kind of sin, sinful anger. But he was angry because of the sinfulness. Let me see if I can explain it. He saw a tree that should have had fruit.
Yes.
That should have had figs, and it only had leaves. It was as if the fig tree was guilty of false advertising.
Yes,
amen. Went over there expecting some feed. Hungry. Yes, he's hungry. Because he's both man and God. Yes. Well, since you're not a, hey, if the tree is not doing what it was purpose and planted to do, then there's no reason for it.
No reason.
Right? Yeah. And if there's no reason, you take it up grind.
Yeah.
that I can put a good tree that's going to bear fruit. So he curses the tree. And I got to understand, when there were two kinds of parables that Jesus often did. There was a parable, in his, when he saved. But then sometimes they hear he would do something, and the parable was in what you saw. So this one was about what he said. The other one was about what you saw. Yes. This was kind of a demonstration for all the people to understand. Because if you were in the day and time, the fig tree always represented Israel. Israel, all through the Old Testament, in their prosperity was in their peace, prosperity, and fruitfulness. When Israel were doing and being the light to the other nations like they wanted to be, then they were said they were prosperous. And God would describe them as a fruitful fig tree. You remember even when they were spying out the promised land, they brought back some things to show how fruitful the land was. So things were always, especially Israel, they were about Israel doing what God wanted them to do. About them being faithful to what God had called them to be a light to the other Gentiles. But so often they were called fig trees because they weren't doing what God called them to do. Rather than being a light to the other nations or what the true God could do with a person, they began to worship idol God and lost their life. And then the purpose that God had called them to, he called them to be a light. But Israel ceased being a light. And that's the way they were really in this time when this parable and this passage is seen. You see the religious leaders. Let me go back just a little bit to demonstrate. It's demonstrated in those first verses I read. Jesus came to the temple. The temple is where God was and his presence was. The whole design of the temple was to progressively take people closer to God. Until they can experience the holiness and the glory of God. That was what the temple before was for. And Christ showed up at the temple. And rather than being able to experience the presence and power of God, he run into the prophet here.
Alright.
Because you know this is the time, this is for Passover. And you had to bring a lamb, your family, for you to represent. Everybody, head of the family, had to bring a lamb to represent them. If you were poor, you couldn't afford a lamb or a ram. Then you went and got the turtle dove.
All right, yeah.
And the problem was the people in the knew that most people just bought it when they got there. It was easy to just buy them when you get there. So what they did, they made it, they will come up here. They will need them a lamb, ram, turtle dove. So we will have bread. And it will be kind of hot. It will be kind of hot, And they put they charge exuberant prices. So they're really standing for the people. You have one, two. Especially the places where they're like tourists go on, or like you go to the Six Flags, or to the State Fair, or to the Cowboy Game, basketball, the prices are always.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. It will always be though they got you there. You ain't got no choice. If they say $60 for it, if you went, you gotta pay a 60. Now, I wouldn't pay that fee, Jerry. I mean, but you know how it is. When you go, you got to pay. Six bags, amen. You get 12 ounce soda, something you can pay maybe 50 or 75%, 75% at the store. It's going to be like $3.
Yes, it is.
Right. Maybe more, $3.50. Don't get no turkey leg. $12, $15. You get a whole turkey. Why you gonna charge me enough for a turkey leg? I can't got the whole turkey.
Right.
What is the way it was? Because everybody came up. At this time, the Passover, all the head of the family, sometimes other families came with them. Or they had to bring their lamb off and sacrifice for the sins of all the people on the Day of Atonement. So the people, and there were some other days too that they came up and they got charged these exuberant charges. And Jesus came in, he expected to see prayer and praise and people experience it, and he had seen people get cheated. And Jesus, y'all know Jesus. The one, the song that says, "Me and mine."
Yeah.
But that's not all. that's not all. See, y'all saying a feminized version of Jesus. But you got to say, Jesus was a man, too. And,
right.
Amen. And Jesus got upset, and he took a rope and beat the folk, ran them out of the temple, carried over folk's chair. Don't forget about that. He didn't want to push over. He ran all in, and didn't nobody beat him down there. So that means he took them all out. He didn't have anything. You know what? All them folks threw all them things out, and ain't nobody. Hey, they didn't get together. So hey, all I know, they left. He ran them all out.
Right.
Nobody beat him down. Y'all like that song, Jesus. Yeah. Say, hey, you get him upset. And he cleared the things out. Because when you, he said, hey, when I come to the temple, when I come to the temple, I'm coming to a house of prayer. But a house of prayer.
Yeah.
Not a house of prophet, but a house of prayer. And I expect prayer to be going on.
Yeah.
And it upset him to the point that he had cleaned the temple out.
Yes.
Because there wasn't what he expected in his father's house.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's like if you. Those of you who had good dads and have you respected. And your daddy had a house. Amen. Your dad worked hard every day providing that house. And then one day you just come home. Amen. And maybe a sibling of yours that invited the wrong folk to the house. And they messing up the house your dad paid for it.
Right?
Doing stuff that your dad don't approve of you. You know, your dad's a deacon and they just, you know, they just drinking and smoking, you know. Not cigarettes, but you know. They smoking and drinking and all on your dad's couch, cursing in your dad's house. You won't clean that. You won't feel that. Like, wait a minute. My daddy worked hard to pay the bill and y'all ain't gonna come in my dad. And that any kind of old way?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. You don't win one beat. You don't win one beat, Randy. Everybody. Oh, my God. Amen. Well, let's talk. You know what I'm saying? Don't you understand? I'm going to kind of cut this in. That's what you feel. So the same thing he did when he found out
what was going on at the temple. When he went to the temple for one thing and found something else, he got upset. When he went to the fig tree and didn't find what he was supposed to find at the fig tree, he got upset and he cursed the tree.
Yeah.
I think when you read the Mark passage and Matthew passage, he said curse the tree the next day. The tree withered. Nah. But Jesus got upset.
Well, this is why I bring it down to the thing. When people pass our church or any church, and they see their name, church,
when you come to church, you're looking for something. That's what I'm saying. Now, some people already got some issues with the church.
Amen.
It's just like, and you, I'm talking about how you had a good dad and a respectful dad. But what about if you had a dad that he had problems with it, didn't he? Feeling responsibility was abusive in some kind of way. Didn't give things paid, didn't he? Just had problems with it. You kind of respect him much, but you had some problems with him. But so you have a different feeling about dad. That's why maybe it's even hard for you to get to feel good about God because he's father. Every time you ask, you just. Because your sense of father just ain't what most people think a father is, because the way your father treated you and treated your family.
Yes.
So you have a hard time even calling God a father.
Amen. Sure.
Well, some people have had such bad experiences with the church. Then when they see the church, they think the church has been a negative place. Place where people are after what they can get out of you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because they've seen church where people say one thing. Traditionally, and they seen these people there about something. Now, none of us are perfect.
Amen.
But it ought to be some progress.
Amen.
Followers of God. I ought to have some progress. So somehow we have that negative. Matter of fact, listen. The reason why Bethsaida looks like Bethsaida looks when you pass it on the street is because we didn't want to look like a regular church. Because some people, when they see the regular church building, they associate that with the way the regular church, the traditional church, and some of the churches that they had. So we wanted to say, we got a different building because we're a different kind of church.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
We're not like the different. One of the things when we were in the building process, I heard through the very process, somebody said, y'all church ain't like a church. Well, we're coming to our purpose. We didn't want to be like a church. Because we wanted to be different. But most people, it's the same old thing. We said, we want to be different.
Yes.
We want to be a different kind of church. Because there's so many people with church hurt. There's so many people that have left the church and won't come back to the church. And got problems. We want to be a fresh version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Fresh version of the church. Now, listen. But and we've accomplished that to some extent. The problem is, we're in the church. A lot of us that's here, we came out of that other kind of church. And athletics, athletics, one thing you do, you practice to create certain muscle memory and skill, where you don't have to think about it. Just you can do that skill because your muscles have memorized it so long. So even without thinking, you can do that thing. You can shoot that shot, you can catch the ball, you can block a certain way, or whether soccer way, you keep it because you've done it over and over and over and over and over. And it's a muscle memory. Well, see, some of them came out of old churches.
All right.
There was someone hurtful and toxic and traditional. We got spiritual muscle memory. And even though we're trying to come into a place where we got freshness and trying to return to a biblical way of doing things, what happens is when we get together, that old muscle memory kicks in. And we go back to doing it the way we were doing it a long time ago. We had tried so hard. Oh, yeah, God, we had to do this. We had to, oh, yeah, fresh ideas. But there's always a default. You always go back to doing it like you grew up doing. But you got to fight against that thing. You got to. So we share the struggle with that, is what I'm saying. We ain't totally over there. But we're trying to be a church that really looks at the Bible seriously and try to do it a biblical way. Because so many are looking by the way. I was talking to a friend other day, and we were talking about what happened in Europe. Why are so many empty churches in Europe? Places that used to be great cathedrals are now just museums. Because Europe left the Bible. And when a church leaves the Bible, it's no longer a church. Why do you order a church that don't believe in the Bible?
Yeah.
And so many of our young and up-and-coming ministers don't believe in the authority of the Scripture and what the Scripture say. You need to listen to it, obey. You have other emotions. Well, and they put the emotions in it. I don't think God would do that. I don't say God cares, but what do the Bible say? We'll ask you what you think.
Right.
When folks are thinking over there, when they want you, that's why the church is closing. Because, hey, I believe in the struggle for equality, yes. And the church and its members should be involved in that. But this can't be all the church is about, because if that's all the church is about, and the church ceases to preach to preach the gospel, then you should take the church down, sign that, and then put it in a secret.
Right.
A black line? Don't lie to the people.
Right.
Because when you come to the church, there's certain things. We should be involved in those things because we're trying to make our world better, but that can't be all we are about.
Right.
We got to be about saving the people's soul. So folk come to the church. They like Jesus. Jesus was hungry. That's what they said.
Yeah.
So there's some people out there that's hungry for filling the emptiness in their life.
Yes, sir.
They're hungry for spiritual reality. And they see the signs all over here. They see the leaves. They say, I see the leaves. So I know it got to be speed. They come to the church expecting figs and find out we got leaves on. Leaves. No fruit. There's leaves. What does leaves represent? Past leaves represent man's effort to be accepted by God. Man keeping rules and trying to be good enough to be accepted by God. When Adam and Eve blew it, they went and sold fig leaves. They had designed fig leaves. And they came up with a design of fig leaves, and God, you can't see how I see it now. You got a design of fig leaves, borrow money. Name them fig leaf marks. So he can't see our dirt, he can't see what we've done, he can't see the sin we committed. He's going to accept us because we are clothed in fig leaves. They were clothed in their own efforts. They were using their, because they told fig leaves, they were doing their own efforts to be accepted by God. God will not accept your own independent efforts because you're not good enough. Never be good enough. Because even your tears of repentance need to be watching the blood of
Amen.
But he said, hey, The fig leaves ain't gonna work. Let me go. Let me go. Hey, two. I'm gonna kill a lamb. I'm gonna kill an innocent animal. I'm gonna take that innocent animal's wool, fur, and I'm gonna wrap you in that skin. Because I want, there's a picture in that. That one day, an innocent person, the only person that's ever lived on earth and never committed a sin, he's going to die. And the only way you'll be acceptable to me is to be clothed in his righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And if you trust in him, he's going to die on the cross.
Yes.
And he died on the cross. He'll take, he's paying for all your sins. And he said, here, I live a perfect life. You can have my righteousness. And God sees you wrapped in his perfection and says, okay, heaven is yours. Not because what you know, but what he needs. And you just celebrate and give thanks and worship him because of how good. So he wrapped Adam and Eve in the animal's skin. Because that was showing his righteousness. One day Jesus will come in and be wrapped in his righteousness. Will be accepted. But the scribes, Pharisees, all the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they were in the figs. The bad thing about being in the figs is because you're making them covered up and all right on the outside.
Amen.
But you're still dirty on the inside. See, when God clothes you in righteousness, he also gives you the Holy Spirit on the inside.
Yes, yes.
We need something done to us on the inside.
Yeah, yeah.
When folks come to church, there are certain things they expect of us. Because we don't just go to church. I come to tell you this morning, I want to tell you something that may shock you. Stop going to church. And be the church.
Amen.
Because when folks come to this building, they don't come to see people that go to church. They come to see the church. Folk that's been saved and changed. Lives are progressing toward holiness. Not perfect, but they're making some progress. So when they come, it's just like Jesus when he looked up his finger on it. And a finger on his tree. And he was on a perfect tree. Listen, my brothers and sisters. Somebody coming in off the street. They don't have it all together. They're trying to find somewhere to meet a God. They can put it together.
Yeah.
And they come in here. And they look amongst the leaves. Trying to find some fruit. Because if you got the Holy Spirit, you ought to have fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right?
So they come in here, they're looking for love. And they're looking for joy. Yeah. They're looking for patience. And they're looking for kindness. And they're looking for goodness.
Yeah.
Looking for hope and forgiveness. If there's anybody out there to find these things, it's in God's heart.
Right?
That's what I do. When you are in the church, there will be your hope in you.
Yeah.
There ought to be something about you that gives hope. There ought to be some kind of love that you do. You ought to have some peace. You ought to have some self-control.
Yeah.
You ought to have some joy.
Yeah.
Right.
Some goodness in you.
Yeah.
Some patience with people.
Yeah.
You come looking among the leaves. And they find no fruit.
God have mercy.
No. They say, well, let me go back out. Maybe I didn't see that sign right.
Jesus.
Maybe it's
Jesus.
Bethsaida Missionary Club.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me go make sure I saw a church on that sign.
Yeah. Amen.
Because if I see church, I want to see some love. If I see church, I want to see some joy. If I see church, I want to see patience. If I see church, I want to see goodness and kindness and mercy. Yeah. I want to see some grace. If I see church, I want to see something that looks like Christ.
Right.
Because when Christ is in you, he ought to come out of you.
Lord have mercy.
He'll dry it up.
Why don't you support that place? Man got no fruit.
No.
Lord have mercy.
That's what he was talking about in Revelation. He said, I'll remove my candlestick.
Yes.
Once you remove the candlestick, you just want to shut the door. Because his power is gone. You operating in your own self efforts. Somebody say, this has some challenges. So Lord, we don't really want to be disobedient. Lord, we've seen you do some great things in our church. But don't let us get so satisfied, so comfortable. That we just go back to our default setting in our old spiritual muscle memory. And just be like we used to be. And never become what the goal you set for us to be. Let us be disciples. Let us be when they come off the street. Hungry for spiritual life. Hungry to know God. Hungry for a change. Hungry for a new start. Let them find fruit.
Yes.
Let them find fruit. Don't let them go to Chicken Express. And they say, we ain't got no chicken. You got to wait for a while. Come on, sister. Let's be what we say we are. Let's be what Christ says we are. Let's be what we were created to be. Let's be people of God. Followers of Christ. Connection. Call him, not only we need to do